Hari
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 17. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Satyavati, however, pacified Richikamuni with peaceful words and requested that her son not be like a fierce Kshatriya. Richikamuni replied, then your grandson will be of a Kshatriya spirit. Thus, Jamadagni was born as the son of Satyavati. Satyavati later became the sacred river, Kaushiki, to purify the entire world. And her son, Jamadagni, married Renuka, the daughter of Renu. By the semen of Jamadagni, many sons, headed by Vasuman, were born from the womb of Renuka. The youngest of them was named Rama, or Parasaram. Footnote 8. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Parasaram appeared in the 17th or 22nd cycle of yugas in the Vaivasvatamanu, Manvantar, according to Lagu Bhagavatam Rita. So 17th or 22nd, so we're in the 28th. Right.
So it's not sure when he appeared, or it may be this, maybe that, maybe both.
Like that. But you know, meaning this particular, like that. So, yeah. So it appears that it wasn't this time around, but he's still alive because he just met with Ramachandra and that in this. Ramachandra and also who else? Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev, like that, because he fought, I think, with Bhishmadev also. Yes, so I'm just saying that's this time in the 28th, but this pastime here is in the 22nd or 17th. Learned scholars accept this Parasaram as the celebrated incarnation of Vasudeva, who annihilated the dynasty of Kartavirya. Parasaram killed all the Kshatriyas on earth 21 times.
Like, during the Lord Ramchandra pastime, we have seen there was when Parashuram met Lord Ramachandra, he was like, no, his pride was taken away. So what is that pride of Parashuram which was taken?
It means he's defeated all the Kshatriyas up to now. Right, means he had his battle axe, and he would move through the battlefield at the speed of mind, fast. And when he got tired, then the speed of wind.
Okay.
Yeah, that's tired. So he went through 21 times, defeated everybody. So then, why there won't be some confidence there? Yes. So then Ramachandra, then he defeated him. But not in the battle, but it's just that when he called his bow, it went to Ramachandra instead of him. Because he's a Shaktivesh, while Ramachandra is Vishnu Tattva. So naturally it's going to go there first, because he's an expansion.
Ramachandra is Paravastra?
That's there, but I'm just saying he's Vishnu Tattva, not Shaktivesh. And so then he understood as, okay, then you're someone superior. But in a battle, that was between Bhishma and him. But Bhishma is technically not from here, so then it's not actually that much of a problem. means he killed all the kings here, but he's not actually a Kshatriya from here, technically. You know, he's from the heavenly planets. So then, you know, he's good. But out of etiquette, he stopped and let Parasuram win. And because of that, then Parasuram blessed him.
Okay. 21 consecutive times, it means 21 generations?
Yes. It means you get one generation, then you come back, and then the next one, and the next one. Because he wouldn't kill anybody who just got married. That was the whole trick of Narikavacha. Is that every time Parasuram was coming, he'd just get married. Like that. So because he was surrounded, therefore, by 21 times, so that means 21 wives at least, you know, so then he's... Yes, so that's why he said he's surrounded by, he was protected by all the ladies. Verses 15 to 41, Parasuram kills Kartavirya Arjuna. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the royal dynasty, being excessively proud because of the material modes of passion and ignorance, became irreligious and ceased to care for the laws enacted by the brahmanas, Parasuram killed them, right? Because they're supposed to function under the direction of the brahmanas. But if they don't do that, then they're not going to act properly. Because then they'll just act out of pride. What is good for their position? It won't be about the people. It won't be about protecting, right? It'll just be about maintaining their positions, their honor, and all that. So when they stop listening to the brahmins, then that's the time when there's a problem then. So we see is that that is such an important point. That's what we made before, is that the top of the administrative system, the whole managerial system, is the Brahmins, not more administrators, not more managers. Does that make sense? It's not that they can't manage. Vasishta, he can manage. He could probably manage as well, if not better, than most kings. But he's the head because he's a Brahmin and he gives brahminical advice, not because he's managing the administration. He manages his own affairs. Does that make sense? So that means the top, they know the field of management and they manage their own programs, but their business is to see to the proper direction of those who are below them. That they only give advice and direction. They don't get involved. It means if they have to, it's their responsibility, they'll get involved. But it's not their first choice.
So it's part of the job description to not be directly involved in the...
That's what Brahmins do. Brahmins don't have the responsibility. It means they're not supposed to run the things. The king runs the things. So therefore, then the higher authority doesn't actually run. They'll give advice, But it's still up to the other person to follow it. It's not that he tells him what to do and he does it. He asks, what should I do here? And you tell, then he follows. That's another thing. But it's not that because you're in the higher position, you just dictate and they follow. That's technically, according to the English lane, it's called a dictator. You know, like that. So that's not how it works. Is that?
Yeah. Also, in the companies, we have directors. They are a brahminical position, right? Because they are...
It depends. If they don't run the thing, if they only give advice and direction and see that, you know, the company values are being maintained, and then whoever's below them actually takes the decisions and runs it, then you would say, yes, it's in that. But if they actually just tell the CEO, whoever it is, what to do, and he has to follow it, then they're an oligarchy. They're not Brahmins. They may be smart and experienced, but they're telling him what to do, so he's just carrying out their order. They're responsible then. In other words, who gives the order is the one responsible. So the Brahmins, since they're not responsible for the action performed by the manager, therefore they may be responsible for the manager, but the point is they give him advice, he follows it or doesn't follow it, that's his call. Then if it goes right or not right, that's also his. That's what goes to him. Right? So we'll say, of course, he didn't work out right. But it also means if it goes right, he gets the credit. So if others say, wow, that was great managerial, you know, expertise, that was really wonderful and all that, then the guys above him can't say, well, it was our idea, we told them what to do. That's illegal. They can't do that. Because they only advise. Otherwise, if they want to say that this is theirs, then when it goes wrong and he does something wrong, that's also theirs. Not that, oh, he should be removed. No, they're responsible. So that's the point. Since the Brahmins aren't, they're not the one getting the credit or the blame, they only advise. Right? Does that make sense? But we see if there's a real problem, then they can always remove the person. Like that, because it's for the ultimate welfare of the people. But it's not on that their managers they do it. It's because it's not according. They're not acting according to what is the job description. So they're being removed and replaced by someone who can do it properly. But it still means an independent thinker who does what he does. But he still has to work under authority.
How would they remove someone practically? Just walk up to him and say, you're out?
They generally use mantras.
Oh, like that.
Yeah, very permanent.
Not only fire.
Yeah.
The subject of company also has two aspects, because it would have the aspect of the administration, the actual value of the company, but if it's a public equity, it would have its market share value as well. So the market share value actually doesn't necessarily have to reflect the company. Not all of the market share reflects.
No, that's just what the people perceive its value is. It can be, you know, it's just like I heard before that, you know, people were trading equities on Michael Jackson. Had nothing to do with him, just somebody put them up and people started trading them. So you can trade anything, you know, so that from that aspect. But what we're talking about here is who's taking the responsibility. So the question was, are the directors, are they like the Brahmins or that? I just said it depends if the directors, they actually say this is how it's going to work and you just get it done. Then they're the ones running the company and he's the man that just practically sees, he's like the supervisor, you know, just gets down there and gets it done. Like that. But if they simply says this is how we would do it, this is our advice, and then he makes the decisions and he does it, then they're in a brahminical position. So, you know, it's just like with the president. He has a cabinet for those who are the best in their area, you know, in the country, and they give advice. But the decision is still up to the president, because we never hear about the cabinet. We just know there is one. But it's always the president makes the decision, so either he does things he's a good president, he does things he's a bad president. But actually, he has those above him. But the point is he takes the decision, so therefore he gets the glory or the blame. So that's the position. So it's down. Otherwise, then the top has to take everything. They can't just take the glory and leave the blame. Like that.
That's actually what happens in a democracy.
Yes. Yes, it means there's always someone down there. Is that
you find someone to sacrifice if it goes wrong?
Yeah, like that. And in the good ones, they take care. We don't hear about it.
But, yeah. You
know, we hear about how he got in trouble, but we don't hear about how he ended up in upstate New York in a big estate and everything like that. Yeah, we don't hear about that. Okay, so Parasa, so when they, due to passion ignorance, became irreligious and ceased to care for the laws enacted by the Brahmanas, Parasaram killed them. Although their offense was not very severe, he killed them to lessen the burden of the world. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Goloka Vrindavan, I was thinking, wow, okay, how do we get
that
there?
Was easy.
Cool, yeah, the Brahma Samhita. Yeah, don't worry about those guys. Okay. The Kshatriyas, or the ruling class, must govern the world in accordance with the rules and regulations enacted by great Brahmanas and saintly persons. Right? That means the standards. Right? That's not this is what you have to do. As soon as the ruling class becomes irresponsible in regard to the religious principles, it becomes a burden on the earth. Right? So saying that what they were doing wrong wasn't that great, but because they were doing that in mass, it was a burden on the earth. So therefore, you remove them, you remove the burden of the earth. As stated here, rajas tamavritam bharam abrahmanyam. When the ruling class is influenced by the lower modes of nature, namely ignorance and passion, it becomes a burden to the world and then must be annihilated by superior power. We actually see from modern history that monarchies have been abolished by various revolutions. But unfortunately, the monarchies have been abolished to establish the supremacy of third class and fourth class men. Because that was basically what it was, is that you had the aristocracy, the nobility that was running things, but they were not necessarily always so qualified, but generally more qualified in general. But they weren't that great. And so then you have the bourgeois, because you have peacetime, which all can only happen if there is proper things happening. Then they come up in wealth and power. And so now, in one sense, if you look at it, if money is everything, then they have more than much of the nobility. So why aren't they calling the shots? Why aren't they running things? And naturally, nobility, one, from pride says, forget it, or knowing that they may have money and power, but they don't actually have the character, they'll say no. So then as time goes, and then they get, more anxious, then they can't by themselves, they don't have enough power that way, so they go down to the people, get that base, and then create the revolution. And then the problem is then it's all, then the standards are set on that level. And so then it never really works out so great.
That's what the British did here. They didn't go for the aristocracy, they went for the vicious, actually, and joined up with them.
Mm.
So yeah. They undermined the power.
Yeah.
And so then it all dropped down.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because they were just businessmen the military.
Business. Yeah, they didn't care about
where
the East India Company.
Yeah, It's
just a business.
Mm-hmm.
But they used military power to. So it would appear that they're coming in conquering and that, but it was just businessmen who came in and conquered. It wasn't England coming from that. It was just businessmen from England saw an opportunity and came in and took over. Like that. Although monarchies overpowered by the modes of passion and ignorance have been abolished in the world, the inhabitants of the world are still unhappy, right? So they're doing not a good job. So you get rid of them. Okay, fair enough. But it's not that the replacement is of any better value, right? Because it's still passion and ignorance.
So, Maharaj, can we say that it would have been better to keep the monarchy?
You can't say, because the basic point is how much they'll allow God consciousness to develop. So if that's allowed, then it works. Because with this, because it's not run that well, then you can do nicely. Well, sometimes you see stronger governments and they shut down on that. So that's the problem. For although the qualities of the former monarchs were degraded by taints of ignorance, these monarchs have been replaced by men of the mercantile and worker classes, whose qualities are even more degraded. When the government is actually guided by brahmanas or God-conscious men, then there can be real happiness for the people. Right? Because the problem is they weren't guided by the devotional element or the God-conscious element. And then they're being replaced by those who are even less interested in that. Right? Because I think the Enlightenment kind of happened around the same time as all these revolutions. So before that, they were listening to the religious direction. But then after the revolutions and the next lower classes of men took over, then that's when they made secular, because they didn't want to have to listen to all these guys. Because businessmen just want to be practical. They don't like people, God-conscious people, telling them you know, how to restrict business, because they could make so much more if, you know, people weren't talking.
All this talk about character.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about skill.
Yeah, because the point is you can make more money if you're not worried about character, right? I say, character's for wimps. Right? Yeah. Therefore, okay, so there can be real happiness for the people. Therefore, in previous times, when the ruling class was degraded to the modes of passion and ignorance, the Brahmins, headed by such a Kshatriya spirit, Brahman as Parasuram, killed them 21 consecutive times. King Parikit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, what was the offense that the Kshatriyas, who could not control their senses, committed before Lord Parasuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for which the Lord annihilated the Kshatriya dynasty again and again? Right? So himself, he's counted as the Personality of Godhead, so he'll be dealt with in that way. It's only when you have the Personality of Godhead coming before the Personality of Godhead, then you might make a distinction between who's Swamp Son, who's or, you know, how you say, not Swamp Son. Like that. Yeah? Or there, who's Swamp... Well, here in this case with Ram, it's not Swamsa. He's the, you know, complete
Paravasta.
Yeah, Paravasta. So Paravasta and Bibinamsa. You know, so then you make some difference. Sukadev Goswami said, the best of the Kshatriyas, Kartavirya Arjuna, the king of the Haihayas, received 1,000 arms by worshipping Dattatreya, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. He also became undefeatable by enemies and received unobstructed sensory power, beauty, influence, strength, fame, and the mystical power by which to achieve all the perfections of yoga, such as anima and lagima. Thus having become fully opulent, he roamed all over the universe without opposition, just like the wind. Once while enjoying in the water of the river Narmada, the puffed-up Kartavirya Arjuna, surrounded by beautiful women and garlanded with the garland of victory, stopped the flow of the water with his arms. Because Kartavirya Arjuna made the water flow in the opposite direction, the camp of Ravana, which was set up on the bank of the Narmada near the city of Mahishmati, was inundated. This was unbearable to the ten-headed Ravana, who considered himself a great hero and could not tolerate Kartavirya Arjuna's power. Footnote 9. Ravana, conquering the directions, was worshipping devatas at Mahishmati. Seeing his encampment flooded by the water of the Reva River, he could not tolerate Kartavirya Arjuna's strength. He went to fight with him. Sardartha Darshani. When Ravana attempted to insult Kartavirya Arjuna in the presence of the women and thus offended him, Kartavirya Arjuna easily arrested Ravana and put him in custody in the city of Mahishmati, just as one captures a monkey, and then released him neglectfully. Right. Yeah. I guess in this case, 1,000 arms is better than 10 heads.
It would seem.
Once while Kartavirya Arjuna is wandering unengaged in a solitary forest and hunting, he approached the residence of Jamadagni. Footnote 10. Now his offense is explained in order to show why Parasuram killed him. Right before, it was just showing his power. Like that. You know, so you understand his pride and all these things. The sage Jamadagni, who was engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers, and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed the Kamadhenu cow and was able to supply everything. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 24. The Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives, is full of Surabhi cows. Surabhir Abhipalayantam. Brahma Samhita 5.29. The Surabhi cow is also called Kamadhenu. Although Jamadagni possessed only one Kamadhenu, he was able to get from it everything desirable. Thus he was able to receive the king along with the king's great number of followers, ministers, soldiers, animals, and palanquin carriers. When we speak of a king, we understand that he is accompanied by many followers. Jamadagni was able to receive all the king's followers properly and feed them sumptuously with food prepared in ghee. The king was astonished at how opulent Jamadagni was because of possessing only one cow, and therefore he became envious of the great sage. This was the beginning of his offense. Parasuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kartavirya-Arjuna because Kartavirya-Arjuna was so too proud. One may possess unusual opulence in this material world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because Krishna does everything. He's in control of everything. Therefore, and he's not proud. It's just his existence. Right? So, then if we, using Krishna's potency, become proud that we're so great, but it's still it's Krishna's potency, what's the position to be proud? Why we would be proud? Because in this pride, now we'll disturb others in their application of the Lord's opulence. And so then it just becomes a disturbance.
So humility is the basis of knowledge.
Yes, yes. Because that means you actually know.
Yeah. What form does Krishna take when he kills Kartavirya Arjuna?
Parasuram. This is the lesson to learn from this history, in which Parasuram became angry at Kartavirya Arjuna, killed him, and rid the entire world of Kshatriyas 21 times. In other words, one can't become proud and disregard the Lord or the Brahmins in their position and think that one because of one's skills and one's power, one doesn't require. That's you know, the point Prabhupada's making. Yeah.
Hmm. But it's also said that it was an excessive punishment.
It, how you say? They're still talking about it. Right? So then they'll be a little careful.
Made it into the book.
Yeah, made it into
the
book.
Precedent? It like establishes.
It's just establishes this point that you if you become proud and whimsical, then there'll be a problem. So that's there. So those who deal with so much power and opulence, they have to be the most careful about this. So therefore the Kshatriyas, because that's their position, then they have to take this very seriously.
Can you say that it's actually less for the Brahmana because he's dealing with less passions?
That's there. It means you could say it's easier, but yeah. His position is actually stronger.
Yeah.
As said, this Kartavirya Arjuna, there was no cases of how he behaved not properly, how he's managing everything was perfect. Only because of this extra pride, he became...
Yes, but then from that, you know, some more can go wrong. Because once you start on that path, then, you know, it's just like Ravana is worshipping the devatas. You know, so that's considered a pious activity. And so just to please some ladies that he's, you know, in the river with, he's blocking the river and it backs it up and then it disturbs Ravana and his worship. Right? So that's improper. It's already going, you know, it's not that we're saying Ravana is great. We're just saying the etiquette in this is not proper. Yeah. And then, you know, he could get away with it because even Ravana couldn't do anything. But the point is it's just a problem, because we'll see as it goes more, it gets worse. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Kartavirya Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthy than himself because of possessing a jewel in the form of the Kamadhenu. Therefore, he and his own men, the Haihayas, were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. Right? So instead of just thinking, you know, he should have just come out with a glass of water and says, that's all I got, you can share it. You know? On the contrary, they wanted to possess that Kamadhenu, which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. So that's he had the Kamadhenu for performing his sadhana. And then since guests came, it's part of the etiquette that you take care of guests. And so he took care of the guests according to their position. They should have been pleased and respectful of that. Because he's a Brahmin, he's only going to use it, you know, for doing his duties. He's not going to use it for taking over the kingdom, because otherwise, if he was, he would have already done it. Right? But now they're unnecessarily becoming envious, which is not like that.
It's same case with Vasishtha and Vishwamitra.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. But Kamadhenu herself took care of the work there. Srila Prabhupada comments. Jamadagni was more powerful than Kartavirya Arjuna because of performing the Agnihotra Yajna with clarified butter received from the Kamadhenu. Not everyone can be expected to possess such a cow. Nonetheless, an ordinary man may possess an ordinary cow, give protection to this animal, take sufficient milk from it, and engage the milk to produce butter and clarified ghee, especially performing the Agnihotra Yajna. This is possible for everyone. Thus we find that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Gauraksha, the protection of cows. This is essential because if cows are cared for properly, they will surely supply sufficient milk. We have practical experience in America, then in our various ISKCON farms. We are giving proper protection to cows and receiving more than enough milk. In other farms, the cows do not deliver as much milk as in our farms because our cows know very well that we are not going to kill them. They are happy. And they give ample milk. Therefore, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Gauraksha, is extremely meaningful. The whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily without scarcity, simply by producing food grains and giving protection to the cows. Those who belong to the third level of human society, namely the mercantile people, must keep land for producing food grains and giving protection to cows. This is the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. In the matter of protecting the cows, the meat-eaters will protest. But in answer to them, we say that since Krishna gives stress to cow protection, those who are inclined to eat meat may eat the flesh of unimportant animals, like hogs, dogs, goats, and sheep. But they should not touch the life of the cows, for this is destructive to the spiritual advancement of human society. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Being puffed up by material power, Kartavirya Arjuna encouraged his men to steal Jamadagni's Kamadhenu. Thus the men forcibly took away the crying Kamadhenu, along with her calf, to Mahishmati, Kartavirya Arjuna's capital. Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Havirdanim is significant in this verse. Havirdanim refers to a cow required for supplying havish, or ghee, for the performance of ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. In human life, one should be trained to perform yajnas, as we are informed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, yajyat tat karma nonyatra loka yam karma bandhanaha. If we do not perform yajna, we shall simply work very hard for sense gratification like dogs and hogs. This is not civilization. A human being should be trained to perform yajna. Yagyad bhavati parjanya. Bhagavad Gita 3.14. If yajnas are regularly performed, there will be proper rain from the sky. And when there is regular rainfall, the land will be fertile and suitable for producing all the necessities of life. Yajna, therefore, is essential for performing yajna, clarified butter is essential. And for clarified butter, cow protection is essential. Therefore, if we neglect the Vedic way of civilization, we shall certainly suffer. So-called scholars and philosophers do not know the secret of success in life, and therefore they suffer in the hands of Prakriti, nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Bhagavad Gita 3.27. Nonetheless, although they are forced to suffer, they think that they are advancing in civilization. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore meant to revive a mode of civilization in which everyone will be happy. This is the motive of our Krishna consciousness movement. Yagye sukena bhavantu. So this is the significance. It means the Brahminical culture is the important culture, but that requires the ghee, so it requires cows. So therefore, cows must be protected. Right? There's no question of not. That's their position. Right?
That is the integrity of society in dealings and everything.
Which? Taking care of cows?
taking care of the cows, but actually the practice itself of taking care of the cows and how people interrelate.
That's there. That's the integrity. I mean, the main point is going to be following the direction of the Brahmins. But that means then we're going to perform yajna. That requires cows. Like that. So the two go together. Does that make sense? So you have to take them both. So it's not just cows. It's cows and Brahmins. Like that goes together. But in the same way, is then you also have the women, children, and old men. So all those five. But of that, then your Brahmins and cows are first. Because if that's in place, then the other three will be easy. But if those two are in place, then the other three won't work very well. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, Kartavirya Arjuna, having left with the Kamadhenu, Parasuram returned to the ashram. When Parasuram, the youngest son of Jamadagni, heard about Kartavirya Arjuna's nefarious deed, he became as angry as a trampled snake. Taking up his fierce chopper, his shield, his bow and quiver of arrows, Parasuram, exceedingly angry, chased Kartavirya Arjuna just as a lion chases an elephant. As King Kartavirya Arjuna entered his capital, Mahishmati Puri, he saw Lord Parasuram, the best of the Bhrigu dynasty, coming after him, holding a chopper, shield, bow, and arrows. Lord Parasuram was covered with a black deerskin, and his matted locks of hair appeared like the sunshine. Upon seeing Parasuram, Kartavirya Arjuna immediately feared him and sent many elephants, chariots, horses, and infantry soldiers equipped with clubs, swords, arrows, rishtis, shataagnis, shaktis, and many similar weapons to fight against him. Kartavirya sent 17 full akshauhinis of soldiers to check Parasuram. So that means as many as, a Kurukshetra battle, but also as many as Jarasandha brought one at a time. Like that. So he had that many himself. While on the whole planet you could only get that many before, but he had that many himself. Right? And then Jarasandha could organize that, but not all at once. It took him a little while. So. But Lord Parasuram alone killed all of them. Lord Parasuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed, their chariots, drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. Footnote 11. Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 31. In the beginning, when the army of the enemy was full of fighting soldiers, elephants, and horses, Lord Parasuram proceeded into their midst at the speed of mind to kill them. When somewhat tired, he slowed down to the speed of wind and continued to kill the enemies vigorously. The speed of mind is greater than the speed of wind.
When he was tired, he was vigorous.
Yes, when he's tired, he's vigorous. And when he was fresh, then... Yes. By manipulating his axe and arrows, Lord Parasuram cut to pieces the shields, flags, bows, and bodies of Kartavirya Arjuna's soldiers, who fell on the battlefield, muddying the ground with their blood. Seeing these reverses, Kartavirya Arjuna, infuriated, rushed to the battlefield. When Kartavirya Arjuna, with his 1,000 arms, simultaneously fixed arrows on 500 bows to kill Lord Parasuram, but Lord Parasuram, the best of fighters, released enough arrows with only one bow to cut to pieces immediately all the arrows and bows in the hands of Kartavirya Arjuna. When his arrows were cut to pieces, Kartavirya Arjuna uprooted many trees and hills with his own hands and again rushed strongly towards Lord Parasuram to kill him. But Parasuram then used his axe with great force to cut off Kartavirya Arjuna's arms, just as one might lop off the hoods of a serpent. Thereafter, Parasuram cut off, like a mountain peak, the head of Kartavirya Arjuna, who had already lost his arms. When Kartavirya Arjuna's 10,000 sons saw their father killed, they all fled in fear. Then Parasuram, having killed the enemy, released the Kamadhenu, which had undergone great suffering, and brought it back with his calf to his residence, where he gave it to his father, Jamadagni. Parasaram described to his father and brothers his activities in killing Kartavirya Arjuna. Upon hearing of these deeds, Jamadagni spoke to his son as follows. O great hero, my dear son, Parasaram, you have unnecessarily killed the king, who is supposed to be the embodiment of all the demigods. Thus you have committed a sin. My dear sons, we are all brahmanas and have become worshipable for the people in general because of our quality of forgiveness. It is because of this quality that Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of this universe, has achieved his post. The duty of a brahmana, so you can see, is that Brahma is actually the senior most, but Indra manages the universe. Right? Brahma doesn't get involved. If they have a problem, then he'll come. But otherwise, then he just shows what's the proper. Right? So the universe is managed like that. The kingdoms are managed like that. The mutts are managed like that. So that's the way things
could be fun to try.
Are managed, yes. Yes.
If it works.
We could try it out, and if it works, then
see
yeah.
What happens.
Yeah.
According to the Brahminical ashram, one should be forgiven. That's the main quality of the Brahmins.
Yes.
But if a person is conditioned by different varna, though we all, as Vaishnavas, Brahminical by ashram.
It is Brahminical culture, yes.
But this quality is not very prominent in those who are not Brahmins, though it can be cultivated, of course.
By chanting and all that, then all good qualities come. All the 25 qualities will come by that. So as one becomes advanced in devotional service, one naturally has these same qualities.
It just takes a little more time.
It just takes more time. The duty of a Brahmin is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. Technically, it's considered, of the qualities of a Brahman, actually the most prominent, the most important. Because if that one is there, then all the other ones can be easily practiced.
Forgiveness.
Because that's the one thing is there. While with Kshatriyas, you generally don't see forgiveness. They have a problem with that.
Same degree, no.
Right?
This quality is managed, like, the person possesses some qualities at a particular point of time. So can we say they have these two types of qualities? One refers to its varna and the other...
No, yes, in general. It means you'll see it on both sides. But the point is if one's center of one's development of one's person is in the ashram, then those qualities will come over into varna. But if we find that they're more focused on the varna, one develops those same qualities there, then he'll be able to apply them into the ashram. But the natural thing is that, you know, from the spiritual they come, and that then that's applied within the social. Right? Harder to make it go the other way. But in devotional service, it can work. But for those who are not devotees, generally you won't see that function.
And this quality of forgiveness is also prominent in Kshatriyas. One rule is that whoever takes their shelter, they have to be forgiven. That is one of
them. That's forgiven, but they've taken shelter, so they've surrendered. But if they haven't, then, you know, until that point, then, you know, yes, there's a problem.
Yeah. Open season.
Yeah, because then they're superior, so then the position has been maintained.
If one is forgiving, then one is tolerant, naturally. But the vice versa is not true.
Yes, we can be tolerant and not be forgiving.
Not so bad. It's not that bad. Quality.
Yes, something is there.
Good enough.
And if you're forgiving and not tolerant?
But how can you be forgiving and not be tolerant?
You forgive and then
you
then forget.
Immediately blow up again. Yeah. Yeah, you could. Yeah, that means that would be a more of a unique kind of position. But yes, it's true.
Vishwamitra, he being a Brahmana, you know, that's what he does. Durvasa, that's what they do. They forgive and then immediately they become mad again with somebody else.
No, but that's a new thing.
Very possible.
No, that's there, but that's a separate issue.
Okay.
Means within the one issue
I spoke also about separate issues.
Okay. the point is that there is a standard, and then you yourself try to apply that, and you see, you know, the position of others according to that. So it's not that here's the standard and that's all that it's going to be. That's what you're trying to get to. You know what I'm saying? So then we try our best to get to that.
Can we say that, I mean, would it be wise if you know your own shortcomings, you try to avoid certain situations instead of...
If you know that it's going to be more of a problem. It means if that doesn't affect your duty, yes. You know, like that. So instead of, you know, walking around this way, you walk around that way. That's there. But if it's a matter of what is your duty, then you still have to apply that. Then you just have to try to develop those qualities.
So like even humility, one can develop only if one is forgiving. So forgiveness is the most important quality in Vaishnavism.
Basically, if there's humility, then you can be forgiveness. Because if you're not humble, how you forgive? Because if you think you're so special. See, because what you have to remember is that what we're saying here is that in the etiquette, if humility is there, then you can be tolerant. And if you're tolerant, then you can, you know, respect others and not expect respect for yourself. Right? So then you can absorb yourself in, you know, chanting. So the here is the forgiveness, then that's the quality that one expects from a Brahmin in the performance of his duties. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Is that they're in knowledge, they're superior. Therefore, you expect those who are superior to forgive. And so, if they don't, then that's a problem. At the same time, as the kings may not be, but then that makes for administration to run very nicely. You know, like that. You know, unless there's that surrender, that humility on your part, then okay, then it can be. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 40. Different personalities become beautiful by possessing different qualities. Chanakya Pandit says that the cuckoo bird, although very black, is beautiful because of its sweet voice. Similarly, a woman becomes beautiful by her chastity and faithfulness to her husband. And an ugly person becomes beautiful when he becomes a learned scholar. In the same way, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras become beautiful by their qualities. Brahmanas are beautiful when they are forgiving, Kshatriyas when they are heroic and never retreat from fighting, Vaishyas when they enrich cultural activities and protect cows, and Shudras when they are faithful to the discharge of duties pleasing to their masters. Right, so that's what you see is that in that modern culture they enrich the cultural activities and all that. So that's considered your top kind of social status, because what's above that is just not understood, the heroic and the forgiving. It's just not part of the scene and all that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And auntie, just only when they surrender to the Lord?
Basically.
Those qualities.
Yeah. But what I mean is that at the top of society, they just are in the enriching cultural activities. That's considered. So there's not above that. So you can understand, that's what we were saying before, is when Prabhupada said, the revolution then creates, and then the third and fourth tier come up to be the first, and they set the standards, and so then everybody else works under them. And so it doesn't come out any better for people. You know, it just has a different flavor, that's all. You know, I say before, you know, you'd write books on the heroism of the great, you know, the Kshatriyas and all that. Nowadays, no one's writing books on, you know, great novels and all that on, you know, some big businessman enriching a museum or something. Right?
Yeah.
It's not. It's just not happening.
It's a boring.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And Shudras, when they are faithful in the discharge of their duties, pleasing to their masters, thus everyone becomes beautiful by the special qualities, by his special qualities, and the special quality of the Brahmana is described here is forgiveness. Right, so they have all those qualities. That's the special quality of a Brahmin. Right? Humility, that's the quality of a devotee. So the quality of the Brahman is forgiveness. Yeah, so that's the thing in the Vedic system. Everybody can be, you know, beautiful. Because it just, if they follow what they're supposed to do, then it always becomes good.
Yeah. Right? Is it that the activity and the mood are matching?
Yes, then the two go well together. Yeah. It means you have a skill, so if you perform this and you're working under someone, so if you apply that skill, how the person who, you know, wants it done, that's naturally then going to, you know, they'll be pleased. And if they're pleased, then you become happy. And so when you're happy, then you look beautiful. So that's that meaning there, that's how the shudras become beautiful. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, "My dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a brahmana. But now, if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin." Right? Because on the material platform, there's nothing for this level of sin. There's no, killing a brahman, anything that goes in there is no atonement. Right? If it's accidental, then yes, there's some long things that you can do. But if you did it on purpose, then there is nothing. So other than Krishna consciousness, that's the only way that you can actually correct these things. Problem is if, you know, if they're directed at these other things, then yes, Krishna consciousness will get rid of that. But if it's directed at Vaishnavas, then it slows down. Even that doesn't work so good. Srila Prabhupada comments, "One who fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is freed from all sins. Aham tuam sarva pape bio moksha shyami." Bhagavad Gita 18:66. From the very day or moment he fully surrenders to Sri Krishna, even the most sinful person is freed. Nonetheless, as an example, Janmadagni advised his son Parasaram to worship the holy places. Because an ordinary person cannot immediately surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is advised to go from one holy place to another, to find saintly persons and thus gradually be released from sinful reactions. Because you won't surrender immediately, then by going to the holy places, associating with the saintly persons, then one hears from them, one renders service, one gets purified, that brings one close to the point of surrendering where one can get that full benefit. Conclusion. The Kshatriyas must govern the world in accordance with the rules and regulations enacted by great brahmanas and saintly persons. Because as soon as the ruling class becomes irresponsible in regard to the religious principles, it becomes a burden on the earth. Therefore, in previous times, when the ruling class was degraded to the modes of passion and ignorance, the brahmanas headed by such Kshatriya spirit brahmana as Parasaram killed them 21 consecutive times. Also, we see from modern history that monarchies have been abolished by various revolutions. But although monarchies overpowered by the modes of passion and ignorance have been abolished in the world, the inhabitants of the world are still unhappy. This is because the qualities of the former monarchs were degraded by taints of ignorance. These monarchs have been replaced by men of the mercantile and worker classes. Those qualities are even more degraded. Whose qualities are even more degraded? In Kali Yuga, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajashu, the ruling class, Rajanya, will be no better than plunderers, Dasyus, because the third class and fourth class men will monopolize the affairs of the government. Ignoring the religious principles and Brahminical rules and regulations. They will certainly try to plunder the riches of the citizens without consideration. Therefore, the praja, or the people in general, must take to the Krishna consciousness movement. Hence, when the government is actually guided by brahmanas or God-conscious men, then there can be real happiness for the people. Praja, no, that means the population, the citizens. Praja, citizens. So you have the king and then the praja, the citizens. Chapter 16. New question 1. The basic principle for dividing society is not and okay. Chapter 16. Lord Parasaram destroys the world's ruling class. come on, you can do it. Pratigya. The performance of Sankirtan Yagya is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. Because anyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street and kill many living beings unknowingly. Jamadagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerities. But because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she be killed. This certainly was a sinful act, and therefore Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. Lord Parasaram was also infected by sin because of killing Kartavirya Arjuna. Therefore, whether one be Kartavirya Arjuna, Lord Parasaram, Jamadagni, or whoever one may be, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, 5 kinds of recommended sacrifice, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to the people in general. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Hence, because we are surrounded by unlimited sins, one is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting. Therefore, it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, so that's the process, the Samkirtana. So that means the loud chanting, the congregational chanting, you know, the processes that are given by the acharyas. It's compulsory. It's not that there's you can make up some other process. Right? Because it's said that because people in performing their duties, just in their day-to-day life, they will be committing so many sins. So the Pancha Yajna, that is for clearing those sins. So it's compulsory. It's not just something you can do or not. That's a rule of the universe. So whether you know it or not, you're still obliged to follow that. So in Kali Yuga, because these are technical people, may not have the facility, the understanding, the inclination. Therefore, then they must. The Samkirtan Yajna will free one from all sin. So it's compulsory that therefore they must follow the Samkirtan Yajna. Right? But this thing, oh, we chant, we don't care for the rules. That's right, we don't care for the mundane, but we care about the spiritual, which means we do all the things that are recommended. So we can't say, oh, but these are rules, we don't care for rules. No, it means we don't care for mundane, just like Krishna doesn't have any material qualities. That doesn't mean he doesn't have qualities. So when we say God has no qualities, right? That he performs no action, he has no form, that doesn't mean that he's impersonal. It means there's no mundane. So when we say we don't care for the rules, it means we don't care for rules based on material considerations. We only care for the rules that are based on Krishna consciousness, that therefore enhance Krishna consciousness.
And those who usually say we don't care for the rules actually have the opposite opinion, because what they're doing is basing on material.
Material, yes. Means you don't have to follow the Vedic, but all the ones that they think are important, you must follow them. Yes, so, but they say that's just natural, so for them it's no rules, but it's rules for other people. Okay. But it's, yeah, so it's very, yes. But that's why it's, you have to know is one is obliged. That's true. Adhyaya Prakashika. When Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, as described in this chapter, Parasaram rid the entire world of Kshatriyas 21 times. This chapter also describes the descendants of Vishwamitra. Right, so it's still a problem for the mother, right? Because she didn't want the son who was going to be the Kshatriya. She got as a grandson, but still it would affect that her own son would become killed because of all this, you know, becoming involved in Kshatriya affairs. This chapter also describes the descendants of Vishwamitra. When Jamadagni's wife, Renuka, went to bring water from the Ganges and saw the king of the Gandharvas enjoying the company of the Apsaras, she was captivated and she slightly desired to associate with him. Because of this sinful desire, she was punished by her husband. Parasaram killed his mother and brothers, but later, by dint of the austerities of Jamadagni, they were revived. The sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, however, remembering the death of their father, wanted to take revenge against Lord Parasaram. And therefore, when Parasaram was absent from the ashram, they killed Jamadagni, who was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Parasaram returned to the ashram and saw his father killed, he was very sorry, and after asking his brothers to take care of the dead body, he went out with determination to kill all Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. Taking up his axe, he went to Maheshmati Pura, the capital of Kartavirya Arjuna, and killed all of Kartavirya Arjuna's sons, whose blood became a great river. Parasaram, however, was not satisfied with killing only the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. Later, when the Kshatriyas became disturbing, he killed them 21 times, so that there were no Kshatriyas on the surface of the earth. Thereafter, Parasaram joined the head of his father to the dead body and performed various sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord. Thus, Jamadagni got life again in his body. And later, he was promoted to the higher planetary system known as Saptarishi Mandala. Parasaram, the son of Jamadagni, still lives in Mahendra Parvata. In the next Manvantara, he will become a preacher of Vedic knowledge.
Is Bhrigu from Saptarishi Mandala?
Bhrigu. You'd have to check and see who's there at this time. Because each one, then each time there's a Manu, there's a different set. In the dynasty of Gaudi, the most powerful Vishwamitra took birth. By dint of his austerity and penance, he became a Brahmana. He had 101 sons, who are celebrated as the Madhuchandas. In the sacrificial arena of Harishchandra, the son of Ajigartha, named Sunakshefa, was meant to be sacrificed. But by the mercy of the Prajapatis, he was released. Thereafter, he became Devarata in the dynasty of Gaudi. The 50 elder sons of Vishwamitra, however, did not accept Sunakshefa as their elder brother. And therefore, Vishwamitra cursed them to become lechers, unfaithful to the Vedic civilization. Vishwamitra's 51st son, along with his younger brothers, then accepted Shunakshepa as their eldest brother, and their father, Vishwamitra, being satisfied, blessed them. You know, that's what he's saying. Kshatriyas, they tend to be extreme. And so then, oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, he's great, you know. Thus, Devarata was accepted by the dynasty of Kaushika, and consequently there are different divisions of that dynasty. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 8. Lord Parasaram slays his mother and brothers. Verses 9 to 27. Lord Parasaram makes the world devoid of Kshatriyas. Verses 28 to 37. The stories of Vishwamitra. Verses 1 to 8. Lord Parasaram slays his mother and brothers. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear Maharaj Parikit, son of the Kuru dynasty, when Lord Parasaram was given this order by his father, he immediately agreed, saying, 'Let it be so.' For one complete year he traveled to holy places. Then he returned to his father's residence. Once when Renuka, the wife of Jamadagni, went to the bank of the Ganges to get water, she saw the king of the Gandharvas decorated with a garland of lotuses and sporting the Ganges with celestial women, apsaras. She had gone to bring water from the Ganges, but when she saw Chitrarata, the king of the Gandharvas, sporting with the celestial girls, she was somewhat inclined towards him and failed to remember that the time for the fire sacrifice was passing." Footnote 12. She completely forgot the time for sacrifice because she desired to see the colorful chariot of the Gandharva, Sartartha Darshani. Later, understanding that time for offering the sacrifice had passed, Renuka feared a curse from her husband. Therefore, when she returned, she simply put the water pot before him and stood there with folded hands. The great sage Jamadagni understood the adultery in the mind of his wife. Therefore, He was very angry and told his sons, "My dear sons, kill this sinful woman." But the sons did not carry out his order. Janmadagni then orders his youngest son, Parasram, to kill his brothers, who had disobeyed this order, and his mother, who had mentally committed adultery. Lord Parasram, knowing the power of his father, who was practiced in meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brothers immediately. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 6. The word Prabha Vagya is significant. Parasram knew the prowess of his father, and therefore he agreed to carry out his father's order. He thought that if he refused to carry out the order, he would be cursed. But if he carried it out, his father would be pleased. And when his father was pleased, Parasram would ask the benediction of having his mother and brothers brought back to life.
That's
practical. Yeah. Parasram was confident in this regard, and therefore he agreed to kill his mothers and brothers. Right? So he understood how it was going to go down. Because it's a matter of being dutiful, following the order, you know, like that. So then he knew that if he didn't, he'd get cursed, and it's not going to work out for anybody. Right? And so then, if he did it, then his father being so pleased by that, then he would give a benediction and then like that. And there's a good chance the father also was expecting that this would be how it would work out. But the point is that regard for authority was there. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Jamadagni, the son of Satyavati, was very much pleased with Parasram and asked him to take any benediction he liked. Lord Parasram replied, "Let my mother and brothers live again and not remember having been killed by me. This is the benediction I ask." Because otherwise, he just brought them back to life and then they remember he killed them. Then he's like, "Why did you kill?" You know. So, but that would always be one of those, you know. Yeah.
Every time they had a fight, this would come up.
Yeah, yeah. Thereafter, by the benediction of Jamadagni, Lord Parasram's mother and brothers immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from sound sleep. Lord Parasram had killed his relatives in accordance with his father's order because he was fully aware of his father's power, austerity, and learning. Verses 9 to 27. Lord Parasram kills all Kshatriyas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the following verses describe the result of Jamadagni's offense in ordering the death of his offenseless wife. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King Parikit, the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, who were defeated by the superior strength of Parasaram, never achieved happiness, for they always remembered the killing of their father. Srila Prabhupada comments. Jamadagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerities, but because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she be killed. This certainly was a sinful act, and therefore Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, as described herein. Lord Parasram was also infected by sin because of killing Kartavirya Arjuna, although this was not very offensive. Therefore, whether one be Kartavirya Arjuna, Lord Parasram, Jamadagni, or whoever one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from Vedic literature. Right? So we have our duties, we have what's the culture, we follow that very nicely, things go well. We don't, then there's always problems. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Once when Parasram left the ashram for the forest with Vasuman and his other brothers, the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna took the opportunity to approach Jamadagni's residence to seek revenge for their grudge. The sons of Kartavirya Arjuna were determined to commit sinful deeds, but they can't really compare because Kartavirya Arjuna was out with weapons, and then Parasaram fought, so it's just natural, how you say, Kshatriya spirit and valor. But here it's a Brahmin. They're Kshatriyas. They're armed with weapons. He's not. He's in meditation. They're, you know, so there's nothing. That's why it says they're determined, you know. Determined to commit sinful deeds. Because there's nothing, it means this aspect of vengeance, is there's no real retribution here. It's just simply their feelings. Right? Because otherwise, if they really felt bad, why didn't they
Parasaram.
Yeah, go to Parasaram, like that, because they knew it wouldn't work.
So it's not an accidental fallback.
No, actually, this is just being nasty, that's all. This is just being nasty. Therefore, it's not politics, it's just being nasty. Therefore, when they saw Jamadagni sitting by the side of the fire to perform yajna and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised by the best of selected prayers, they took the opportunity to kill him. With pitiable prayers, Renuka, the mother of Parasaram and wife of Jamadagni, begged for the life of her husband. But the sons of Kartavirya Arjun, being devoid of the qualities of Kshatriyas, were so cruel that despite her prayers, they forcibly cut off his head and took it away. Right, so, right, because that would be the other thing, even if they're that, but if, when she comes out and then prays, and that then, again, they should have, from that aspect, then let it go. But, as is pointed out, they were devoid of qualities of Kshatriyas. They were Kshatriya Bandhus. That's why they were acting in this way. You know, because it was just an emotional thing, so it wasn't based on duties. Lamenting in grief for the death of her husband, the most chaste Renuka struck her own body with her hands and cried very loudly.
No, he called her the most chaste. So she was purified? Had been killed?
That aspect is there, but the point is it was just a mental offense, so it's not considered very serious. You know, it means, I don't think she's counted as one of the top five. No, because there is that aspect. But someone like Gandhari, even in her mind, she would never think. That's why she's counted as one of the five. She wouldn't talk about, she wouldn't think about, she wouldn't, you know, interact with. So that's what put her in that category. So here, point is as long as nothing's done, then this one's considered chaste. Like that. That's all. It's just, there's gradations, but that's the bottom line. So therefore, then, you know, she is very committed to her husband. You know, I mean, that she just, you know, gets distracted by the Gandharva. If the Gandharva hadn't been there, there would have been no problem. It wasn't she was out looking for Gandharvas. You know.
So that's accidental. That's accidental.
Yeah, that's accidental. And cried very loudly, "O Rama, my dear son Rama." Although the sons of Jamadagni, including Lord Parasaram, were at a long distance from home, as soon as they heard Renuka loudly calling, "O Rama, O my son," they hastily returned to the ashram, where they saw their father already killed. Virtually bewildered by grief, anger, indignation, affliction, and lamentation, the sons of Jamadagni cried, "O father, most religious, saintly person, you have left us and gone to the heavenly planets." Thus lamenting, Lord Parasaram entrusted his father's dead body to his brothers and personally took up his axe, having decided to put an end to all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. O king, Lord Parasaram then went to Mahishmati, which was already doomed by the sinful killing of a Brahmana. Right, so that's that, because you can see from it, now they've killed the Brahmana, such a call. Now that just dooms the city. Right, because they're the Kshatriyas, they're responsible there, then they don't know how to behave. That condemns everybody. In the midst of that city, he made a mountain of heads severed from the bodies of the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. With the blood of the bodies of these sons, Lord Parasaram created a ghastly river, which brought great fear to the kings who had no respect for Brahminical culture. Right, those who did, they would think, you know, wow. You know, it's like when there's that, in the Krishna book, when it describes the fight when Jarasandha came, and there was just so much blood moving like rivers and all that, then it said that those who were, you know, very heroic, they would be inspired. And those who are weak-hearted, they would, you know, they would faint or, you know, things like that. So, like that. So those who respected the Brahmanas, then they would go, wow, okay, now that's a Brahmin. Okay, this Brahmin means business, right? So they'll be inspired. But those who didn't respect the Brahmanas, now they'll be afraid, right? Because that's the whole point. He was killed. He killed Kshatriyas that didn't respect the Brahmins. And so then now, naturally, they'll get disturbed because, you know, a very practical example has been established. You know, so. Because the Kshatriyas, the men of power and government, were performing sinful activities, Lord Parasaram, on the plea of retaliating for the murder of his father, rid all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth 21 times. Indeed, in the place known as Samantapanchaka, he created 9 lakes filled with their blood.
Still exists?
Yeah. I don't know. That means the I think they're full of water now.
In Kurukshetra is also in that area?
Yes, in Kurukshetra.
Was it said the name of Shurama's mother?
Yeah, it was Renuka, no?
Renuka.
Renuka. Yeah, that was his mother.
Maharaj, it is on a similar line as Dhruva Maharaj when his brother was being killed. So then he started killing all the Yakshas. So similarly, when he could have stopped, you know, Parashuram after killing Kartikeya, Arjuna and his sons. But then,
yeah, because they weren't behaving properly as an excuse from that, then he continued. But it's that they were not actually appropriate for leading the country. So then he just removed them all. And so it took 21 generations, I guess, to get it to the point where then they were qualified.
This is not the circle of 9. This is like
the circle like of 21.
More
yeah,
thorough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Some of them were like not killed. The kings of Mithila and them, they were always respectful.
Okay, so then, it's just the ones who are disrespectful. Because otherwise, then he would go, they'd be respectful and everything like that. You know, when he'd come, they'd come out, greet him, and worship and so. But if you come out with a bow and arrow, then you got a problem. Srila Prabhupada comments to verses 18 and 19. Parasaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his eternal mission is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Bhagavad Gita 4:8, to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. To kill all the sinful men is one among the tasks of the incarnation of Godhead. Lord Parasaram killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times, consecutively, because they were disobedient to the Brahminical culture. That the Kshatriyas had killed his father was only a plea. The real fact is that because the Kshatriyas, the ruling class, had become polluted, their position was inauspicious. Brahminical culture is enjoined in the Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam Mayashrishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashaha, Bhagavad Gita 4:13. According to the laws of nature, whether at the time of Parasaram or at present, if the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for the Brahminical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God like Parasaram to create a devastation by fire, famine, pestilence, or some other calamity. Whenever the government disrespects the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead and fails to protect the institution of Varnashram Dharma, it will certainly have to face such catastrophes as formerly brought about by Lord Parasaram. Right. So then all these other natural things, war, all these difficulties, then they come up. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? We see a difference between, you know, the grand old song about how Britannia rules the waves and how now they're just an island surrounded by waves. You know, so. Not quite the same. So. Yeah. So that's just, these things come. They just go up, they go down because of that lack of respect for the higher authority.
Someone wrote, "Make America Great Britain Again."
Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter Parasaram joined his father's head to the dead body and placed the whole body and head upon Gusagras. By offering sacrifices, he began to worship Lord Vasudeva, who is the all-pervading supersoul of all the demigods and of every living entity. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Parasaram gave the eastern direction to the Hota as a gift, the south to the Brahma, the west to the Advaryu, the north to the Udgata, and the four corners, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest, to the other priests. He gave the middle to Kasyapa and the place known as Aryavarta to the Upadrashta. Whatever remained, he distributed amongst the Sadasyas, the associate priests. Footnote 13. The tract of land in India between the Himalaya mountains and the Vindhya hills is called Aryavarta.
And what remained? It seemed like we covered pretty much everything.
Well, it means by the time you finished, then yes. Aryavarta means, you'd have to just see what's... Must be something's remaining, you know, some pots, some spoons,
yes,
some bananas, something is there. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, because there's so much opulence is there and other things, so he gave the directions to them.
Find something.
And that, so then, yeah. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parasaram took the bath known as the Avibhrita Snana, standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins. Lord Parasaram appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 23. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagyartat karma non yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Karma bandhanaha refers to the repeated acceptance of one material body after another. The whole problem of life is this repetition of birth and death. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu. Although Lord Parasaram was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had to account for sinful activities. Anyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street and kill many living beings unknowingly. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Panchayagya, five kinds of recommended sacrifice, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to the people in general. Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5, 32. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam. Although Krishna, he is Krishna himself, he always chants Hare Krishna and preaches Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Samkirtan Yajna. The performance of Samkirtan Yajna is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But that has to be done, so that one can't then make up your own process. This is, as given by the Acharyas, you follow it. It's already simple. If you think this is complicated, you should see the Pancha Mahayagya. Anybody who, you know, means everybody in the planet who's Grihat, they have to follow. It's obligatory. It's not, oh, we're not Hindu, we don't have, it doesn't matter. You're obliged.
So if one doesn't follow the Sankirtan Yajna, he has to compulsorily do, it's mandatory.
Yeah. So if we think the Sankirtan Yajna has so many rules, you know, then what about this? You know, I mean, it's before you eat, you make the offering, and then you go out with the rice, and there's, I forget how many places around the house and in the house where you have to put rice for all the living entities.
So how many living entities will you have?
Those who are in charge of everything, because you have the house and it goes on by all the different living entities. That's why it's one of the things that we owe to the living entities. Right? So that has to be done like that. And so it's a very major thing. That's one of them. The others, you have to study Shastra. The others, you have to perform a daily yajna. So we just have to do Samkirtan yajna, and that takes care of everything else. You have to worship the Brahmanas. You have to, you know, like that. You have to, the forefathers, you know, and the whole forefather thing, that's real tradition. You know, people are having problems, you know, serving a buffet lunch, you know, like that. And even that's, you know, if a robot could do it, that would be even better. Right, so you know that, you know, to be able to do the Shraddha right, you know, it's like, forget it. like that. It means you actually have to know how to serve prasad. So it's just Krishna's made it so kind, you know, that it's all, the details are huge. Like that. So the Sankirtan, that's why he says it's Lord Chaitanya is so kind.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great concession, not just concession, great concession. Because I'm not sure between the two of them details, but at least one full chapter goes just dealing with this Pancha Mahayagya. Mm-hmm. 1 out of 12. Yes, like that. So it's serious. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus, Jamadagni, being worshipped by Lord Parasram, was brought back to life with full remembrance, and he became one of the seven sages in the group of seven stars. My dear King Parikit, in the next Manvantara, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, Lord Parasaram, the son of Janmadagni, will be a great propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. Because when it went through all the manus and it went into the future, I think Parasaram was mentioned in one of them, so that means the next one. We're the eighth, right? So in the ninth. Huh? We're the seventh. Yes, seven and seven. So in the eighth. So then he'll be... Bali Maharaj will be Indra, and Parasram will be one of the seven sages.
Ashwatthama.
Ashwatthama will be Vyas. Like, yes.
Oh, that's an inauspicious
Manvantara. No, come on, they're all great personalities. I said, hold on to your head, right? Not hold on to your hat, hold on to your head.
Lost my head in the bottom.
Better go back to Godhead before.
Yeah, well, that's recommended anyway. Lord Parasram still lives as an intelligent Brahmana in the mountainous country known as Mahendra. Completely satisfied, having given up all the weapons of a Kshatriya, he is always worshipped, adored, and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. Remember, he was giving everything away, and Drona came and got his last... You know, weapons, right? Because, you know, everything else was gone. So then he's just living as a Brahma, because he's performed his duty in that way.
Didn't he take Karna? Was it Karna? Whom he cursed?
Karna. But did Karna get any weapons?
No, but I'm saying that...
No, but he came as a student. He's a Brahmin. Brahmins teach what they know. So he came to him for... He could have come to him for Vedanta Sutra, but he didn't. So he came for, you know, learning weaponry, you know. But then he figured out, you know, by two things. One, Kshatriya's blood smells in a certain way, so that's one thing. And the other thing is only Kshatriyas can stand so much pain. And so he was uncovered. His ruse was uncovered.
Is he one of the Chiranjeevi?
Sorry?
Chiranjeevi?
He's the Supreme Lord, so why not? The point is he's the Supreme Lord. Because we mention he's a Shaktivesh just so we understand how he fits into the, you know, the pastimes of the Lord. But he's in reference, he'll always be called the Supreme Person. I mean, the Personality of Godhead. It was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In another place, and it says, you know, being. Isn't it? Yeah, in the next, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Doesn't say supreme, just say personality of Godhead. So but the point is that Shaktivesh means he manifests that, so he does things like the Lord. So it's that.
Maharaj said that now he's still living in a country known as Mahendra near. I heard it's Kerala, same
thing. That I'm not sure, wherever Mahendra Mountain is. So if that's in south, or if it's in the Himalayas, or wherever it is. But south was his place. Kerala was his place. That's his land. It's not someone else's. Because he gave everything away to the Brahmins. You know, as we saw, he gave the north, south, and everything in between, and then whatever was left over. So there was nothing left, and he had no place. So then, not knowing what to do, therefore he went, and Varuna gave him land. You know, in exchange for his axe. With that. That's why it's Kerala. Otherwise, it was only Tamil. Nada. That was Dravida. But then, that part was then given to Parasara. And then the fun part is, he brought Brahmins, because then it's a new land. There's nothing there, so the first thing you need is Brahmins. So he brought Brahmins from Bengal. Like that. So if you know Bengalis, then you'll understand when you meet Keralites, they're exactly the same. The mood, the mentality, how they deal. The difference being that here they know about Lord Chaitanya, there they don't. That's the major difference. But otherwise, as far as the mood and everything, it's the same. Like that. So if you do fine here, you'll do fine there. If you don't do well here, you will not do well there. Because all those guys speak English, so they'll really give you trouble. Right? You know. Okay. In this way, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, and the Supreme Controller descended as an incarnation in the Bhrigu dynasty and released the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. That doesn't mean one guy, you know, kills them and then brings them back to life, kills them again. No, it just means the whole order. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.